Plakas and the crew will get you in shape and eating properly as he joins us now. Plakas, how are you?
Very good, sir. How are you doing?
That's good. Well, you guys have that video on loop at the gym.
Absolutely. We live it daily, don't we? Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of pros but or cons of obesity, but there's actually some pros. We'll get to those in a sec. let's go through the obvious cons of obesity and why it's such a concern right now for our society.
Well, there's a lot of cons. Like, everybody talks about the, the typical ones. Like, they have, the higher risk of heart disease, diabetes, certain types of cancers, that kind of thing. But there are also some kind of cons that a lot of people don't think about. So there was a little article in the journal that I was reading that I found quite interesting. They cited some research that was done in Sweden and actually repeated again in the UK and the States, where they said that obese people had actually about an 18% reduction in their net income yearly. So, people who are overweight generally actually made less money for a variety of reasons. They never really cited. Maybe they're not given the higher paying jobs based on employer bias for them to do the work that they need, or the energy needed to perform the work, or the image that they're portraying representing the company, that kind of thing. So that's quite significant, I think.
Now, the pros. What are the pros?
Well, the pros. The pros are more like me talking about giving more of a. They're more negative. They're kind of funny. So the pros I thought were like, if you ever want to be like an anchor in a tug of war competition.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna be good if you got a lot of weight, or if you're ever stuck on an island and you're not gonna have access to food for a long period of time. You're gonna probably survive a lot longer than a skinny person. That kind of thing. So there's not really major pros because, gravity is the nemesis of being obese. So there's because of gravity, there's really no distinct advantage being heavier in our society. So I've talked to a lot of people who are are fat advocates, where they say, obese people, there are some of them that they don't mind being obese. They figure, well, why should I go through the stresses that all the other people have to be thin and sort of fall into the trap of what society makes me want to think I should be really be in life. So they talk about having less stress, having to not have to follow diets and try to fit into certain types of dresses or certain types of clothes, that kind of thing. And then they cite research saying that people who are maybe overweight and a little bit obese may not necessarily be as unhealthy as somebody who is thinner and just eating crappy food all the time. So to an extent, I don't want to fat shame anybody, but to an extent, I kind of also sometimes make fun of overweight people just because, I get made fun of because I'm Greek, and I can take the Greek jokes, and everybody gets made fun of. So if you can't I can't laugh at it a little bit, you're in the wrong business. I'm in the wrong business then.
Yeah, no, and that's fair. And, it's interesting about, the real long-term risks of obesity now, Paul. And, we've talked about it more so, for adults who maybe everybody, because logically, as you get into your 40s and 50s or maybe your 30s even, everybody puts on a few pounds. And yes, it's maybe a little bit more conscious. Okay, I can't drink pop or as much as booze, or I got to eat less wings here. Maybe I can only have three in it rather than crush 20 like I used to when I was in my 20s.
But exactly.
The biggest one now, though, is people who allow their kids to be obese, I don't think really understand the long-term effects and how your kid, by being obese at a young age, Paul, that doesn't it mean you're pretty much linked to remaining obese?
That's what really the research shows. If you don't get it fixed by your teenage years, the chances of you fixing it after that is very unlikely, the research shows, just because of, your mind being focused on so many other things in life, trying to go through school, pay off loans, trying to start a career, starting a family, all that kind of stuff. So your own health gets set on a back burner. And also, I think a lot of people, they talk about how parents aren't even aware that their children are overweight. So they'll ask them instead a question, do you think your child's overweight? Obese people tend to not think so as much as people who are not quite as heavy.
Paul Plakas from Custom Fit joins us. I do want to talk about, Paul, we've had some people saying, like, obviously in weightlifting, it's a benefit to be more girth. but not necessarily obese. What's the line? Because some people are, you know, you've got the endos or the ectos, right? Some people are going to look thicker naturally. What's the definition of obese? When does it become dangerous?
Well, that's sort of a question that if you ask a lot of people, the answer could be different. So right now they say obese is somebody who's got a body mass index, which is a height to weight ratio, of over 30. Okay, so, and then if you, that's sort of obese. If you want to be morbidly obese, then the BMI would have to be over 35. Then they have different classes, morbidly obese 2, level 3, level 4, and so on. So obviously the more higher that you are morbidly obese and the higher levels and classes, you would think that health is going to be degraded quite a bit, longevity is going to decrease quite a bit, because it puts you at risk for so many complications of health in your life. But you can be obese. There are some research out there saying that where it's mild and towards the lower end, and still be healthy according to the charts. Like, you may not have high blood pressure, you may not have cholesterol issues, you may not have any kind of issues where the doctor can test for it. But as you get bigger, it's going to get worse. And you just have to look at your family history, your physical activity level. That's going to play a role. And then really, how much high-nutrient-dense foods are you consuming in a typical week? And are they more than low-nutrient-dense foods? So the more you can stay on the higher end of nutrition, you're going to have a better chance. I'm not saying you have to live a life of a saint. Nobody's going to do that. But if you do have a bad history, or if you're an unlucky person where you have like a bad metabolism compared to other people, then you're going to have to watch a lot more.
And it definitely is a concern. One final one, quick one, Paul. To look at people who want to actually lose fat, because we're having a lot of people say, hey, Gregor, I work out, I'm not losing weight. Is it, like, what are the best things to do? And is it heart rate? Is that the number one thing that needs to go up for people to start actually burning fat?
Well, if you're looking at expending calories, there's for weight loss, there's two things. You have to basically get your heart rate elevated and sustain it for a period of time, or you have to have a lot of muscular intense tension or friction through resistance training or speed or load of doing some kind of activity where you're moving some weight. And then you got to do that consistently for a period of time and then increase it as you get fitter and fitter, because your body will adapt to the stress. But however, that's not as important as watching the amount of calories that you put into your body in a typical week relative to your active lifestyle. So the amount that you put in is going to be a lot more important than how much you expend. It's just too easy to put in an 800 calorie piece of cheesecake than it is to go burn 800 calories for like an hour and a half to 2 hours doing some kind of exercise. And then the other problem is that it's the lifestyle. It's like most people have desk jobs. They spend too much time watching TV, on the computer, and then when they go out and for their leisure times, they're going to movies, and they're always centered around socializing with friends for eating and drinking. Whenever they visit people, for some reason, everybody has to eat and drink all the time. Nobody can socialize by just going for a walk and not leave the eating and drinking out of it.
Paul, always good to catch up with you, man. We will talk to you. Oh, quickly, who is your favorite Oiler during the Dynasty days?
Yeah, I hate to admit it. I was never an Oilers fan in the Dynasty days.
Really? Who was your team?
I never was. I always cheered against them. When I grew up, I was, for some reason, a Montreal Canadiens fan.
Oh, well, hey.
I just kept on liking them after that. But, yeah, now I'm an Oilers fan. I like the team at all. I don't have any specific player, but I like the guys that go in there and grind it out, bash around a little bit, get the occasional goal. I feel like that I would have been that kind of player.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, well.
No talent, all hard. Just put on a little show for the fans. I want to see something that's interesting at a game. I don't want to just see the typical game. I want to see some kind of excitement that gets the fans involved.
Oh, so Dave Tiger Williams was your guy.
I love the showboating after a goal is scored. I'm a big fan of that.
Love it. All right, Paul. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.